Tonight, we move on to gentleness. Where do you start with a word like that? Well, I thought I'd start with the experts. Let's see what they have to say about gentleness. Gentleness corrects whatever is offensive in our manner. Only the weak are cruel. Gentleness can only be expected from the strong. Gentleness is the antidote for cruelty. Nothing is so strong as gentleness. Nothing so gentle as real strength. When you encounter difficulties and contradictions, do not try to break them, but bend them with gentleness and time. And finally, as Gandhi said, you see, I use Gandhi because the other experts, I couldn't even pronounce their names. But Gandhi said, gentleness, self-sacrifice, and generosity are the exclusive possession of no one race or religion. I suppose we could just leave it there. That's what the experts say. That's what gentleness is all about. But I'm hoping that over the next few minutes, we'll see that the Bible has a lot to say about gentleness and how gentleness should be at the forefront of all those other things, those other words that we have been hearing about over the past weeks. And don't forget, we've been told over this series that we do not have all the spiritual gifts, but every Christian should produce every spiritual fruit, and that includes tonight's word, gentleness. Is gentleness easy? Is it difficult? Well, we can certainly say that our society, especially now, does not value gentleness one little bit. It values assertiveness, aggressiveness, and the claiming of rights, getting our own back, saying what we think, concentrating on ourselves, perhaps, and forget the other person because they don't count. In other words, it's all about me, me, me. But for Christians, it's a different story. 10 times the New Testament clearly and unambiguously states that one of the key characteristics of a mature Christian life is gentleness. So what is it? What is it to be gentle? What is gentleness? Well, start by saying what it isn't. It's not weakness. It's not cowardice. It's not passiveness or inactivity or being tame. Because as I've been reading upon this word, and especially what the commentators say about this word, I find time and time again that gentleness is strength. But it's strength under control. It's restrained strength. It's a person in a powerful position choosing to not use their power against a person in a weak position. Gentleness is all about care and concern for others, especially those who are weak and those who are vulnerable. It's about putting our own agenda on hold and considering the comfort of the other person. So let's now see what the Bible says about this word, gentleness. Well, I suppose you could say it says, first of all, that God is gentle. Perhaps not a quality most people associate with God, especially not a quality that people associate with God in the Old Testament. We've read those stories. We've read that bit of history that we've already heard a little bit about this evening. The times when God seems to lose his temper, seems to take action against individuals, about groups, about whole nations. It seems that at times God in the Old Testament is anything but gentle. But while it's clear that God is strong, and many times he unleashes his strength in the Old Testament, just as often, God demonstrates gentleness. Some words from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. The prophet says this, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And time again, we get that picture of God as the shepherd, gently leading those that have young. God is powerful, but in his power, he cares for people, especially the weak. Let's look at a few examples from the Old Testament in the way that he took people aside and cared for them in a very special way. Let's think about Joseph. In Genesis 37, Joseph was an arrogant and disrespectful son, but God rescued him from the hand of his brothers and made him into a great ruler in Egypt. Think about Gideon, Judges chapter 6. God promised him success in battle, but Gideon, in his weakness, didn't believe that God was going to do those things and asked for a sign. God, in his mercy, gave the sign. But again, Gideon, in his weakness, still didn't trust God and asked for another sign. Did God get angry with him? No, we read God with gentleness gave Gideon this sign also. And let's think about Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, that great prophet of God, in fear and weakness, ran away, handed in his resignation to God. How did God respond? He fed Elijah. He brought him to the mountain of God at Sinai. He demonstrated his power and he gave him strength and encouragement so that the resignation was ripped up and he carried on in service of his God. That's the Old Testament. On to the New Testament and the letters, the preaching and the witness of Paul. I chose just two readings. It could have been two of many that shows how Paul preaches the gentleness of Christ. But when we see Paul first in action, of course, the last thing we would call him was gentle Paul. But after his conversion, after Jesus had dealt with him in a very special way, we see Paul himself taking on that gentleness in his relationships, and the way he wrote to the various churches and groups of people. The first reading we had tonight, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. "I myself, Paul, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away." And again, when writing to the Thessalonians for the first time in chapter 2, "As apostles of Christ," he writes, "we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for children." The word that we have there, the actual word used frequently by Greek writers, was characterizing a nurse with trying children. I believe that there are a few of them around still today. But it also means a parent looking after children, perhaps coming to the last week of the summer holidays thinking, when does school start again? You know the type. Or it could be a teacher not looking forward to that first day of term, knowing that they need, desperately need, that gentleness to look after those dear ones who come into their presence. Paul here uses this word of the conduct of himself and his fellow missionaries towards the new converts. They, like children, like parents, like teachers, have a lot to learn about what the fruit of the Spirit is all about, and especially this word, gentleness, in our relationships, in our attitudes, in the way we are. But Paul, time and time again, treated people with that gentleness. He did care for them like a mother caring for her children. Gentleness is other person-centered, seeking their good, not just looking after ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that gentleness is always successful and sometimes not always the right approach. Sometimes in seeking the good of others, gentleness cannot and will not be for the benefit of the person. We might have to be stronger. We might have to use confrontation and assertiveness when that seems to be the way forward. And so we understand a little bit more on how Paul talks to these people, how he writes in his letters. Paul wasn't always gentle, but he knew the times when to be gentle and when to assert just a little bit of that pressure on the people. We do get examples of Paul not losing it at all, but knowing when that gentleness just wasn't enough. After all, in the letter to the Galatians, he calls them gullible fools. That doesn't seem very gentle to me. And he certainly forcibly responded to those who dared to change the gospel that he was there to preach. Paul was gentle with some people and confrontational with others. Depending on the circumstance, he acted in different ways. When writing to the Corinthians to address problems they were having in their church life, he even goes so far as to offer them a choice. Chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, verse 21. "What do you prefer?" he says. "Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit?" Giving them the choice. So when should confrontation rather than gentleness be used? Or is it really one of the same thing? Remember that phrase I used before. Gentleness is for the benefit of the weak. When you're trying to benefit another person by helping them turn from their sin or from false teaching, gentleness should be the first approach. And only when gentleness fails should a confrontational approach be used. Matthew chapter 18, a well-known chapter. Remember what Jesus said to do when a brother sins against you. 1, talk privately. 2, take one or two others with you. 3, if that fails, bring the matter before the whole church. Not the other way around, but in gentleness. Talk quietly, pray with them, point out what's wrong, and then take those other steps. Note that progression from gentle, private rebuke, and then, if needed, to confrontational, public rebuke. Gentleness. We've seen about the gentle God. We've seen about gentle Paul. And now, finally, gentle Jesus. What springs to mind when you hear that phrase, gentle Jesus? Maybe it's long time ago when we were growing up, that simple prayer, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, the way that children like to see Jesus, there for them. But is it true? Jesus, meek and mild? In the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus is never described as meek or mild. In fact, sometimes he was quite the opposite, forceful and confrontational himself. For example, the way in which he spoke to some of the Pharisees, calling them a brood of vipers. The time when he overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. A meek and mild Jesus is not biblical. But what about gentle Jesus? Is that biblical? Jesus himself says so. Matthew 11:29. Remember those words? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How was Jesus gentle? Like God in the Old Testament, there are many incidents where Jesus demonstrated gentleness. His treatment of the woman caught in adultery, whom the Pharisees wanted to stone. The way he treated disciple Thomas, who refused to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead until he saw Jesus with his own eyes. The way in which he associated with the outcasts of society, the sinners and the tax collectors. The way in which he healed people who were suffering. His conversation with the woman at the well in Samaria. The list could go on. In all these examples, Jesus puts himself out for the benefit of the weak, the sinners, the lost, and the suffering. But it's all very well for Paul. It's all very well for those great people of faith. It's all very well for Jesus himself. But what about us? How can we show this same gentleness in our own lives? Because, hands up, I admit it, it's hard. It's tough going, being gentle in the world around us. Think about that second reading we had, Paul's letter to Titus, where it says that we should avoid stupid controversies, we should avoid dissensions, we should avoid quarrels, we should avoid having to do with anyone or anything that causes division. And yet we can guarantee in this coming week, some of those things will happen to me and to you. Why? We're human. That's what we like. We have problems at work. We have problems at school, at college, at university. We have problems at home with our neighbors, with our family members. We find it hard with our relationships. Whatever we do is wrong. Whatever we say is wrong. We try to do the right thing, but it's wrong. And people don't come slowly to tell us that. They certainly let us know when we are wrong. We're put in a situation where it's so easy to do the wrong thing and so hard to do the right thing. It was at this point when I was thinking back over the last 30 odd years as a Christian, thinking, wouldn't it be great to tell the lovely people out there as something where, yes, I was gentle. I had that gentleness of God, of Christ himself, and everybody will go away thinking how good Graham is. But I thought back just a couple of weeks to a time when I was on holiday in the Lake District, and I loved the Lake District. It's one of my favorite places. We were about to set off. We had our picnic ready, the car was ready, and the phone went, Dawn's mobile phone. It was her mum telling us that her dad, who was divorced from mum, was found dead in his flat in Portsmouth. All very sudden. What should I do? Yes, I should put on my professional hat. I should do the right things. I should be quiet when I need to be quiet. I should say the right things that a minister should say in those situations. But it was a real situation with real family around me. And I was a word, a thought, an action away from getting it all wrong. I was really tempted to say something about why now, at the start of my holiday, a holiday I'd looked forward to for weeks, for months. Why now be angry at Dawn's dad, who dared to die at such a time? Angry at Dawn because she didn't know what to do in that situation. And being gentle, having that gentleness of Christ, was a million miles away, perhaps way back in Crowborough, when it should have been with me in the Lake District at the start of my holiday. Why? Because I'm human. And we have to work hard at these different fruits that have been given to us, that we are expected to work hard at. And if we are to practice gentleness, we need to do three things. To be aware of the weakness of others. To be wise in working out their needs and what will benefit them. To be self-controlled in order to put their needs above our own desires. And you know what? Those three things are impossible. We can't do them. Not in our own strength, anyway. You've got to be superhuman to do those things. You need strength from above. You need God-like qualities. We need the Spirit of God to do them. But praise God, if you are a person who follows Jesus, if you have the Spirit of God within you, we have that power within us to understand what it is to have the gentleness of God and of Jesus in our lives. To stop us when we're going to say that thing which we know we will regret later on. To stop us doing that action we know will get us into trouble. We see it in the pages of the Bible, and we could learn it for ourselves in our daily lives. Pursue gentleness with the strength and love that the Spirit of God provides. Just as Paul urges us in Ephesians 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. It's hard. Life is hard. But we need to remember that gentleness that God has, that Jesus shows us, that Paul talks about. And may we all experience it, especially in those times when we feel far away from Him and all that we should do. Let's bow our heads. And in the silence, and prayerfully, hopefully, before we leave this place tonight, let's bring to God that area of our lives that we know we need His gentleness. That issue that we face tomorrow, that issue we might even face tonight as we go home, where we need God's help, that gentleness to tell us to think of the others rather than our own needs and wants. Let's pause for a moment and in the quietness, come to God with those thoughts. Speak to somebody tonight before you go home, because this word gentleness seems so easy, but in truth and in life it is so, so hard. May God, our strength and our Redeemer, go with us from this place into wherever we go this week, into whatever situation we might find ourselves in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.